It's time to come together for Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches Holy Convocation 2018. Moving forward, Wednesday, August 15th through Saturday, August 18th. Our convocation speakers will be Pastor Delzora Terrell on Wednesday, Bishop John Edmondson on Thursday, and our very own Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. on Friday. Services begin at 7 p.m. nightly, preceded by prayer at 6 p.m. Workshops will be held Wednesday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. in the prayer chapel. Dinner will be served immediately after classes nightly. Registration is required for each workshop session. On Saturday, August 18th, there will be a special time for teens during the Teen Live Service, which will feature giveaways, gospel recording artist Jermaine Dolly, and a relevant word presented by Reverend Darren Harley of the Lighthouse of Deliverance Gospel Church. Dinner will be served after the Teen Live Service. Parents, encourage your teens to be here for this dynamic time of worship and fellowship. It's Holy Convocation 2018. Moving forward, August 15th through August 18th. Come and experience the power of God. We hope to see you there.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
If you go with me to Proverbs chapter 18, I like Proverbs because of its simplicity and its colloquialism. It doesn't try to be a theological book. Proverbs is not a theological book. It really isn't. It's a practical book. I'll tell you what I liken the book of Proverbs to. I liken the book of Proverbs to your grandparents sitting with you to explain the functions of life. I liken it to the instances where my father would have me in his car and we would go to the Phillies game, or we would go and get school clothes, or I would go with him to certain jobs, and I was the flashlight holder and the store goer, and he would talk to me. It was during those times he would mentor me. And I liken Proverbs to a father mentoring those who would come after him. It doesn't have a whole lot of stuff to make you rejoice, although we will, as Pentecostals, we will find a way to rejoice over something, even if it doesn't make sense. We will rejoice over it. It's full of sayings and teachings that come from the experiences of Solomon and other writers. He is not the only writer to the Proverbs. He wrote, like Psalms, he wrote many of them, as David wrote many of the Psalms, but David didn't write all of the Psalms, nor did Solomon write all of the Proverbs. And so you read through it and you find that in many instances, he also writes from the perspective of regret. When he gets to the part that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart, we believe that he was making reference to the fact that he did not train up his boys. And that's why after he was off the scene, his boys became terror, because he did not spend time with them. And that is a very serious problem. We have parents who don't spend time with their children, and since a physical law is that all of creation hates a vacuum, and especially in the spirit realm. If you don't fill your child's life with the word of God and with the spirit of God, the world will fill it with the things of Satan. So it is highly possible for you to be spirit-filled and God-conscious and your child be alienated from God. Now, underscore the word child. I'm not talking about when they become an adult. When they become an adult, it's too late. In fact, psychologically, when they get to 7, it's too late. You're done. And that's why those early years are the most significant. And so he writes some great stuff here. You can read it when you get a chance, and just take 30 days to read a chapter a day. And you'll find what's interesting is he comes out in chapter 1 setting things in order. Wisdom cries out in the street. She yells at you from the chief marketplace. She says, how long, you simple one, will you love simplicity, or will you chase after things that have no eternal value? How long will you look for a position? How long will you stumble over what God wants you to do. Do you know how immature that is? Do you know how immature it is to try and find something to do when God is trying to get us to be somebody? We spend our entire Christian existence trying to locate what we should be doing, and it's an exercise in futility. It's a waste of time. Jesus did not save me to make me a pastor. He did not save me to pull me into the episcopacy. He saved me so that I could walk with God, so that I could have the fellowship that Adam gave up because of a weakness for his woman. Isn't that enough? Gone are the days when people would connect simply because of the personality. I love you because you're you. But now it's I love you for what you can do for me. And the question is, what have you done for me? Love my church. And we really serve God the same way. Lord, what have you done for me lately? He says, hold it. Hold it. I kept you all these years. You're not sick. You're not in the emergency room. You have all of your faculties. Now, I just decide not to do anything for the last 3 years, and you upset. 60 years old, I kept you for 57 years. And now you're mad because you're going through a little something. And I watched over you during the most tempestuous times of your life. You didn't have two nickels to rub together, but you never missed a meal. You didn't even have money to pay your rent, but you always had a roof over your head. I watched out for your children when they were determined to destroy themselves. And now here I decide that I'm not going to do something for a while, and you're upset. I call you into ministry, but I don't send you out to preach, and you're angry. You're not glad that I called you. You're more impressed by doing. But what did he call me for? To get your attention to live better. He knew that once you became aware of your so-called ministerial calling, it would force you to spend more time with him. But we become too interested in doing ministry than being ministers. Everybody is not called to minister to God, but everybody's called to minister to people. Now, to whom would you like to minister? Folks who will reject what you say, or the God who will honor what you say. And so Solomon writes some outstanding stuff in here. One of the most famous sayings that he gives to us, he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. In all, say all, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. In other words, just talk to God about it before you do it. Talk to God before you get married, because he will tell you, don't you marry that person. I know what they're going to be. You don't. Acknowledge him in all of your ways before you take a job, before you leave a job, before you retire. Don't let the government tell you when to retire. Don't let Social Security tell you when to retire. Do you understand what I'm going to share with you today is going to help you, and it's going to help you see what I'm bringing you, and it's going to require an adjustment, and adjustments take time. I don't know if I said it in this service or the midday or the night. I said, even if you go buy a suit off the rack, you still have to make alterations, and if you buy one that's custom tailored, they bring you back a couple times for alterations to make sure it fits you. And then you fit it based on your style, okay? Well, when you became a Christian, listen carefully, Christianity is off the rack. Everybody comes in the same way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes unless they come through me. So it's off the rack. That means it's standard. You walk up, you pick up Jesus, you get saved. But then Christianity is a custom-made suit. That means God fits each of us based on who we are. So your walk with God won't be my walk with God. My level of praise won't be your level of praise. My understanding won't be your understanding, because it's all custom-made. In fact, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what I have for you might not work for somebody else. Therefore, I should not covet what you have, because I don't know what price you paid to get it. So I can't envy what you have, because I don't know what depth of hell you went through to get it. So I say, Lord, give me my yoke and make me content with my yoke. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch this. Chapter 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. In other words, People that are considered to be fools when they talk, arguments follow. Strokes here is not the neurological disease, it's punches. In other words, you can talk to somebody inappropriately and they want to punch you in the mouth. And Solomon calls them a fool. How many of you got somebody like that in your life? Just that when they talk, you feel it coming and you have to say, Lord, help me. Help me, help me, help. Maybe you don't. Maybe you like really say, well, I'm not at your place. Hallelujah. I meet a lot of people whose dental work needs to be changed. But understand, he says, a fool's lips will enter into contention and his mouth will call for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are the snare of his soul. My God, look how simple he makes this. In other words, we need to be careful not only what we say, but how we say it. Now, he goes on, he says in verse 8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. In other words, when somebody speaks about you and then carries that tale to somebody else, by the time it comes back to you, it devastates you. And most of us believe what people say. There are people who will say some injurious things about me, and you've been walking with me in this church for over 20 years, and you'll still believe what they say because the possibility exists. In our system of jurisprudence, there are three ways to make the evidence valid. We call them standards of proof. One is by a preponderance of the evidence, and that usually means 51%. Then there's clear and convincing. That's about 75%. And then there is beyond a shadow of a doubt, and that's in the 90% range. But here's the caveat. All of them are based on probabilities. The question that you're asking is it possible that this could happen? Or was it probable that this did happen? Most juries will not address the probabilities and possibilities. They simply go with the emotion, like the rest of us. When something is said, whether injurious or not, we have the tendency to believe. Why? Because we've heard something. I'm gonna unpack this a little more. He says here, when he talks about the fool's mouth, he says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. So when you backbite, you wound people. Then Paul picks up on this teaching in the writings to the church of Galatia, and he says that when you backbite, you murder the other person. How? By killing their character.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
6318A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.